Okay, people, before we officially start the show, I'm going to take a moment to have a moment of silence for our friend on this show and on this network, Problem Child, who we all know passed away this week. And our prayers and go out to his family and friends, and we hope that he's in a better place. All right, now let's start the show.
The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senate in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
I'll take a run and jump.
My patience
is spent.
I'm here to meet your fate.
Perceived touch. Divided.
He's right. This is his first test.
Now it's time to take on the
Iron Club.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Yes, good evening. It is another Sunday night. And it is 6 p.m. We are doing another volume and episode of the What Are You Reading comic book show. We are at volume 6, issue 20. Is it 20, Jordan? Are we up to 20?
We're up to 20.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey,
how you feel?
I'm doing okay. You know, one of those weeks, strange things happen. You know, well, but
yeah, strange things happen. Like, I'm moving very soon. I'm moving back home.
No.
Yeah.
Don't move home. Move to Hollywood.
Don't worry, Surfer. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be able to do the show.
No, I'm saying move to Hollywood.
Oh. I don't get that kind of fucking money.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if you have to go out there, nut in your pocket, and work your way from selling your behind out in the street to...
Why do you automatically got to go to prostitution?
Because you got to make a living somehow. To becoming the biggest Hollywood pornographer in the history of the business, then do it. Do what it takes.
Porn is my backup plan. Remember that.
Okay. You know, make porn movies. You know, come up with a genre.
Porn might be all I can do, since apparently Warner Bros. Decides to do the Flash movie before I can get a chance to do it.
Come up with a genre that no one else has come up with, and you think you can make a niche. But do it, man.
I can make all exclusive prison porn because I just watched Orange is the New Black and think there's an
No. There is already prison porn out there, so that's...
I know, but I'm saying, like, I could do, like, something different with prison porn.
I've heard of Orange is the New Black, but why are you going to be black? I'm just saying.
I don't know. Oh, by the way, people, you should watch Orange is the New Black. It's Netflix's best original show yet.
You sure you want to put that statement out there? I mean, better than your show Arrested Development?
Actually, yes. Look, I watched House of Cards. House of Cards is phenomenal television. Arrested Development Season 4, a great return of the best show ever, according to me. But Orange is the New Black does something. It's got a great, its cast is so well-rounded. The writing all across the board is excellent. It's very funny. It's very dramatic. Got great character work. It highlights everyone. It's got some really funny jokes. Oh, and Captain, and Admiral Kate Janeway from Star Trek is in it. As the,
you mean Mrs. Ship. Columbo.
Oh. Yeah, the show could use Columbo.
No. The woman that played Janeway on Star Trek.
Yeah, Kate Mulgrew.
Yeah, Kate Mulgrew, okay. She did a show where she was Mrs. Columbo.
Oh. Right? I thought you were talking about Columbo.
Yeah, the detective, okay. Columbo. You know, he'd come up and he's like, yeah, you know, he looked like a bum, and he would ask these crazy questions to try to investigate what was going on, and then he would prove later that you was the murderer, and he knew it all along, and how. And the thing was,
I'm not going to lie, Columbo, I still actually legitimately like Columbo.
The thing was, Columbo used to always mention his wife, but Columbo didn't have a wife. But there was a Mrs. Columbo, where they actually had Columbo's wife, and she was being a detective. And now he never showed up, and they never showed him. And it didn't last long. I don't even think it made it a full season. But that's what she did before she sat in the chair of the for Starship.
Wow. Like Enterprise still isn't that bad. I'm just saying, it ain't the best show, but it ain't that fucking bad.
Enterprise, it was watchable at times. Sometimes it wasn't good. Part of the problem.
I agree, but people shit on Enterprise too much.
Well, yeah, but a lot of people who do probably didn't watch a lot of Enterprise, and they just watched what they wanted to see, jumped on the bandwagon of disliking it, and then that was it. You know, part of the problem was they was trying to make a Star Trek show that
didn't revolve around the Enterprise.
Not so much the Enterprise, but the familiar enemies that you were used to.
Yeah, I get that. That's why I respect Enterprise. I mean, like it's Voyager. But you know what? Let's move on. I want to talk some comic books.
I got to say this real quick about Enterprise. You know, they set up Enterprise, right? Through both Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, where they had characters come on. And then when they made up the show, they didn't use any of those characters. They used similar characters, but didn't use the same characters. So you didn't really have that tie-in. Other than some of the crew was part of the Marquee. But of course, 7 and 9 was on there, so. You still with me?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
What comic book you want to talk about?
I'm still with you. I just took a sip of my wine. But,
oh my god, you're okay. Whining now.
Yeah. Hey, I guess you could say I'm a wine hour. Whatever. Anyway, there was a comic book issue I did want to talk about last week. Last week was Comic-Con, so I understand we had to push it back. Of course, we had someone, Nixon, who was at Comic-Con, talked with us. Understand that. San Diego Comic-Con is a big fucking deal.
What's Comic-Con?
What I wanted to talk about was the latest issue in the Batman and Robin saga of Batman and books. Now, I stated, like, last time with Batman and Batgirl, number 21, that this arc, that's basically the five stages of grief for Bruce Wayne, after losing Damian, was not really living up to par. That changed, because the recent one, Batman and Catwoman, number 22, my favorite comic of these last couple of weeks, because this was fun. Also, it wasn't the current, also wasn't Anna Cody writing Catwoman, who I liked a first couple issues of her run, but it really wasn't quite good over the Catwoman main title, so I dropped it until they get a new writer. But here, yeah, this was good. This was good. Basically, it's Batman and Catwoman saving a girl from some terrorists, from a hostage situation. And, it's them flirting, being coy with each other. And I admit, I'm a sucker for the Batman-Catwoman relationship. For that, because as fan fiction shippers would say, they are my OTP, my one true parent. I love any banter between Batman and Catwoman. It's fantastic. And here, it didn't disappoint with Peter J. Tomasi writing them. And, the Carrie Kelly stuff wasn't grating. In fact, but also my favorite part was the end. Spoilers, by the way, spoilers. The ending of the book was basically Two-Face. Two-Face made a sort of cameo at the end of Batman Batgirl number 21. But here in Batman Catwoman number 22, he just sits down in a restaurant, flips a coin, and then leaves. The looks on the people's faces in there were, I was like, oh my god, what's going on? But this was the first issue out of the five stages arc that intrigued me. And next week, next month comes the end of it with what will be Acceptance, which will be Batman and Nightwing, number 23, which I admit I'm excited about because it's the dynamic duo, the OG dynamic duo. One more time. And
you think he gonna make Nightwing riding a sidecar?
Maybe. That'd be a funny joke.
Well, they did that
but I'm more interested in what's going on with Two-Face because I took a look at DC's solicitations for October.
You know they did that on Brave and the Bull, right?
Yeah, I do. I know. I love Brave and the Bull. But apparently in October starts a 5-issue arc called The Big Burn, which is set as Two-Face's first epic in the New 52. Sees Batman unraveling the mysterious connections between Harvey Dent's life and the origin of Carrie Kelly. I'm very interested in that because Two-Face is in my top three of absolute favorite Batman villains. Hell, just villains, period. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Two-Face is a great character. Two-Face really is. I'm very, very looking forward to what's going on in October with The Big Burn. I'm very much looking forward to it. It's gonna be fun. But also, I would like to also briefly mention Hawkeye number 11, which was told entirely from the perspective.
Hold up. Take a breath.
Okay, I'll take a sip of wine.
I'm just saying, don't do two books at a time. Let's break things up.
Okay.
We'll come back to Hawkeye. I forgot to give out the phone number. So, let me do that real quick. If you're out there and you're brave enough, you want to call in, you can call in the area code, what's my phone number? 215-253-4516. Or you can Skype us at silversurfer_forever. And you can join us that way. I want to do some box office news.
Okay, let's do it. Because I believe we did have a comic book movie come out this week.
Yeah, did you go see it this week?
Actually, I gotta wait to see The Wolverine. Can't quite go out to the theater right now because, like I said, I'm moving.
Well, for those of you who care.
I do care.
No, let me do this real quick. Man of Steel, 17th place. Long Ranger at 14th place. Nobody gives a damn about Long Ranger. Okay. Poor Eye beat PD. It's in 9th place. It brought in $5 million, but its total.
That is bombing on epic proportions right now.
It so far brought in $24 million and his budget was $130 million. Pacific Rim brought in $7.5 million. Its domestic total was up to $84 million, but its worldwide total is up to $224 million. So it has surpassed the $190 million budget.
It's made its budget back. That's the important thing. Mm-hmm. More Pacific Rim. Why is no one chanting with me? People in the chat room, you should be chanting More Pacific Rim.
You're going to be satisfied with Godzilla when that come out.
And you know what? Honestly, next to Days of Future Past, Godzilla is my most anticipated movie of next year.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I'm looking forward to it. Especially after seeing like the design of it in that Godzilla encounter footage from San Diego Comic Con last week.
Now, Red 2 so far has brought in $35 million. It brought in $9.4 million over the weekend. Its budget was $84 million. I guess it cost a lot of money to fly to different countries and film outside the Kremlin. It's sad because I like Red 2.
Really?
Yeah, I like Red and Red 2. Most people I talk to liked Red 2.
I'm honestly the first Red movie, I'm just meh. I mean, it's got some cool stuff going on,
but what you talking about?
I just really didn't care about it.
Because you don't know a good movie when you see one. One can smack you upside the face.
You're going to say that to a film school graduate. Really.
I don't give a damn, okay? You know what I am? I'm a moviegoer, okay? That makes my opinion more valuable.
Hey, well, I'm a moviegoer too.
Not like me.
Come on.
You know, I was going to the movies when you was just a thought. You weren't even a thought yet.
When I was just a gleam in my daddy's eye.
Not even a gleam. You were still in his nut sack. And I hate to say it like
that.
Wow.
And you say this is a family show.
Of course it is. We believe in family on this show. So anyway, getting back to the main movie of the week, which is Wolverine. The Wolverine.
The Wolverine. We don't want people confusing it for a terrible, terrible movie that was awful and terrible.
It had $120 million budget, and for the weekend it brought in $55 million, which is a little bit okay. I mean, I think they would have been happy if they got half their money back, but they almost did. So, hopefully, word of mouth will help.
I actually looked up its worldwide gross for the weekend, and it's $141 million.
Huh? I was looking at the... Yeah, okay, yeah. It brought in $86 million overseas, and worldwide is $141 million.
So, it's already made its budget back.
Right. And, you know, I thought it was a pretty good movie.
What did you think in the movie?
I've heard very opinions, you know, I suppose I thought it was slow. I heard people think it was good and then it didn't end well. I just enjoyed the movie. I kept my expectations low because I've said this. The first Wolverine movie I didn't think was terrible. I just thought it was just an average summer movie. And they shot it that way. I think that's the problem. They shot it like a summer movie and didn't try to, you know, put any effort behind, you know, doing a half decent story. So when he's looking up into the sky yelling, and
like every 5 seconds,
and then, you know, he's walking away from exploding helicopter behind him in slow motion and stuff. I mean, they just did all the tropes that you get in a summer movie. And I walked out saying, it's a summer movie. And apparently a lot of people hate it more than they liked it, which I'm not going to argue with you. So some of those people may not want to see this movie because of that movie, but they would be wrong not to do that. I mean, listen, go see it, and then if you don't like it, fine. I mean, that's on you. But I've never, at the post-credit scene, saw an audience jump out of their seat and applaud.
I will say, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I've seen that post-credit sequence.
Yeah, you saw it on the boob tube?
I saw it on the internet.
Yeah,
on the
tube.
Yes, and okay. Might I give a quick thought about that scene?
Without spoiling it, sure.
Fantastic! It's a very, very good setup for Days of Future Past, which I am so excited about. I am looking forward. In fact, you know what? I think I'm going to reread it soon and then wait to reread it before I go see the movie.
But see, they're not doing the same storyline with... I mean...
No, I know. But it's just, I'm a big fan of Days of Future Past. I hold it up as one of my top 10 favorite comic book stories ever. I really do. And it's possibly next to the Wolverine miniseries by Claremont and Frank Miller and Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run as my favorite X-Men title.
Well, you know,
I really do.
The thing about Days of Future Past, right? That came after the end of the Dark Phoenix saga. And
Dark Phoenix as well.
Alright. Not only the Dark Phoenix saga, but the entire Phoenix saga, right?
Yeah.
Have you read the entire Phoenix saga or just the Dark Phoenix?
I've read everything.
Okay, what do you mean? Like, how far back have you read X-Men as far as that Phoenix saga?
I read all of the Phoenix saga. We only had the main trade, the ones. But I got friends back in Nashville that had the other issues that under very careful supervision that
so,
I read.
So and, when they go up in space and then Jean Grey powers the shuttle and becomes Phoenix. You read that?
Right, I read it all.
And the whole thing was, you read all that when the X-Men spent a year out fighting from one battle to the next, Savage Land, Antarctic, dealing with, was it Murder World? I forgot. And then dealing with Xavier's son and all that, and then coming home and had to, then leading into the Dark Phoenix saga. So you read all of that.
Yes.
Okay.
When I said I read the Dark Phoenix saga, I mean I read
Reading the Dark Phoenix saga is one thing. That's from the moment they get into it with the Hellfire Club, and then you meet Kitty Pryde, and you meet Dazzler, and Emma Frost. But
can we get off the subject and move on?
No, I'm doing something here. Just relax. Why are you going to try to tell me how to run my show, man? I mean, come on. I mean, I know we're sharing the show together, but why are you always trying to make me move on?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just asking. What is that? I just told you, I read everything involving
Okay, so I'm trying to get to a point here. And you're making me lose my point. And, you know, I'm old, so, you know, if I lose my point, then I got to start all over from the beginning. You don't want that now.
Okay. Get it.
So, yeah, so, you know, that's, listen, regardless of the great storylines out there people have read as far as X-Men, this was what made the X-Men, you know, the X-Men. Why people started, the buzz started going around that they had to read this, and it was winning awards for best book of the year and best writer, blah, blah, blah. And you thought they were done. And then they do this two-issue daisy of Future Past, which, of course, John Byrne's last two issues on the book on top of that. And, you know, you see this future where the Sentinels took over the United States and most of the mutants are dead, most of the heroes are dead. And the few that are alive, they're in concentration camps with the inhibitor collars, and you see Franklin Richards, and he's an adult, and Magneto's in a wheelchair, and Wolverine, he's the only one not captured, and, you know, he's trying to bust people out. And unfortunately, we're not going to get that story.
But we'll see what they tried in X3, and failed.
So we'll see what we will get. You know, I think it'll be... Hey, I like Bryan Singer, and he did two fine X-Men movies, so I think he'll...
He did two great X-Men movies.
Right.
X2. You know what? I actually rewatched X-Men, X2, and X-Men First Class recently. Still love all three of those, especially X2. A lot.
Oh, you know, I bought X-Men First Class this week, and...
Oh, yeah, I saw it for, like, what, basically... 49 cents.
Yeah, because it came with $10 movie money. It was $10.49 plus $10 movie money, and all the X-Men movies.
Now, when you're making your will, leave that to me.
What, the Blu-ray?
Yeah.
All the X-Men Blu-rays were on sale. The first Wolverine, all the other X-Men. Plus, you could get the complete 3 trilogy X-Men set for $20, and it came with $10 back, so.
Okay. But yeah, that's good, because First Class is a first class movie.
Yeah.
I have no shame in saying that.
I think it's the best of the X-Men movies.
I still say X2.
X2 to me is a very strong second. And it was my favorite until I saw First Class. And,
I can't blame you for saying First Class is your favorite. First Class, like I said, it's a great movie. You've heard me rave about it. I love First Class.
I didn't know you had love for First Class like that.
I know. I do. I love First Class. First Class is a movie that actually me and Megan can have, like, a romantic evening around. I'm not even kidding. Because she may not be as big on comics as this, but when it comes to X-Men, she's a fucking nut about it.
Well, I'm going to stop the tape for a second. Because... You know, I upload this to Blog Talk Radio, and I can't do an hour, so I have to do it in 2 half-hour shows. So we will be back on the other side if I can pick up some music to play, because I need to get some more music.
Well, let me ask the chat room. You guys in the chat room.
No, I don't have. I gotta get some on my computer, so I don't play the same songs over.
Those in the chat room, tell us what you think about the X-Men movie during the break.
All right, so, folks, we'll be back on the other side. Okay, folks, let me tell you real quick about the other fine shows we have on Rant EM Radio.
What are these fine shows?
Well, tell me, how much of the Rant EM Radio do you listen to, Jordan?
I listen to a lot. Like, I may not call in as much because, well, like I said, recently I've been tagging all my shit, but I do listen to
man,
the Rant Report.
Throw that stuff away from college, man. You don't want to keep hold on to it, man. It's just, you don't.
Well, like I said, hey, I enjoy listening to the Ringside Report every Thursday.
Well, actually, the Ringside Report, I'll go into that in a second. But first of all, on Tuesdays, we do have the Rant featuring Double A every Tuesday night, 8 p.m., where he goes over the wrestling news and recaps Raw. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we our condolences go out to his co-host, Problem Child, who we lost this week. And,
rest in peace. I'm sending very positive thoughts to his family and friends and loved ones. I am very sorry for your loss, and we lost a good person.
And there is a tribute show that's available on the network if you want to listen to that. In addition to all the other fine shows we have in rotation, every Saturday night at 11 p.m. is the Wrestling Calling Show with William Morgan. But things just get crazy out of hand.
I used to have a wrestling calling show that I think I might be thinking of resurrecting.
And let me tell y'all, I said this last night, I'm gonna say it again. John Cena will not tap out at SummerSlam. Just forget it. Tune in for the Ringside Report, which is a, you know, you want to follow Lee and Lex on Twitter at Ringside Podcast for day and time, because that's a floating show.
Yes.
And also, once a month, we do have Old Head versus Young Buck with Rage and Lee, where Lee usually takes Rage to the back and gives him a spanking and puts him in his place as a young buck that he is. And it makes me feel sorry for Rage, but he's still a good guy. And check out all the other shows we have in rotation in the news feed. We have the Unnecessary Movie Review, which, you know, I spend my time at movies, so I gave you my unnecessary 2 cents. Plus, we have Throwbuckle Turnbacks in the rotation. And I believe we're broadcasting on TuneIn Radio and Stitcher, and you can download all these shows from iTunes. And of course, this show does repeat on Blog Talk Radio. So, you know, if the excitement of this show is too much, listen to it one time. You can listen to it two in sections, you know, so your heart don't get too much.
If people gonna listen to us live, they really need to have people to handle.
Listening live.
They gotta be able to handle us.
All right, now you wanted to mention Hawkeye, so.
Yeah, I wanted to mention Hawkeye number 11. Now, I mention this because it's a unique issue of the book. Because early on in the series, Hawkeye adopted a dog from breaking up a Russian mob ring. The dog's called, he's officially known as Peach Dog, but Hawkeye, number 11, is told entirely from the perspective of Pizza Dog. And I'm being dead serious when I say it's actually one of the best single-issue comics I've read this year so far. I'm not even kidding.
Okay.
It's really fantastic. I mean, Matt Fraction is of course wrote it, and David Aja. Apologies, David, if I'm fucking up your name and you're somehow listening to this. But it's really good. There is dialogue from the people. Like, there's a funny panel where Hawk is like, keep blah 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 I blah 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 place. And he's in the next panel across from him is like Pete's dog scratching his head with his hind leg. It's very funny. there's a good bit, a very funny bit, where Pizza Dog was confusing a hobo for Flint.
Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hello?
I'm here.
And again, it's really funny. It's very enjoyable, and it's really fun. Honestly, I just recommend Hawkeye, because like I said, that and Daredevil are the absolute two best things going at Marvel, along with the current X-Men book, which is...
What's the best thing going on at Marvel?
Three things. One will be Daredevil, the absolute best.
Okay, Daredevil.
And then there's Hawkeye.
Okay. Hawkeye.
And then there's two X-Men books.
Okay. And
Wolverine and the all-female X-Men book.
Your knowledge is very limited, my friend, and I don't say that to be mean. But I'm being mean because your knowledge is limited. Because if you knew what you was talking about, you would be putting Thor up there as one of the best books Marvel put out, because it is epic stuff being written.
Okay, hold on. I have not read the current Thor. Should I?
The God Killer God Bomb storyline that Jason Aaron is writing is epic stuff. This is the kind of storyline you read in a 12-issue maxi series, where it crosses over with all kinds of books, except it's crossing over with three Thors. I'm telling you, this book is amazing. And every week,
okay,
the action just never stops. When you're watching...
Okay.
Listen.
Okay. I'll check it out.
I'm on a roll here. Don't stop me, please. When you're watching a King Odin Thor, and then you're watching a Vengeance Thor, and then you're watching a young Thor go into action, it's something to behold. It's hammer time. And then also, Young Avengers.
I mentioned Manhattan.
Young Avengers. Okay? If you're not reading Young Avengers, you don't know good book.
Are you talking about Young Avengers or Avengers Academy?
No, Young Avengers.
Okay, have not read that. Read Avengers Academy, though. Love Avengers Academy.
Well, there's no more Avengers Academy. That morphed into Avengers Arena.
Well, that's stupid because Avengers Arena is not really.
No, supposedly Avengers Arena is very good.
I read it myself.
Listen, I look through different websites and see what I'm saying. Every month, they all say that Avengers Arena is a pretty good book. The only reason I don't read it because
again, this is my opinion. And my opinion is Avengers Arena is not very good.
Dude, you would be wrong. Because I listen to the
experts. I'm sorry, but it takes something great like Avengers Academy and just... But let's just say I was not thrilled with the character death in issue one.
Well,
and that was really not a good sign of things.
Young Avengers, team led by Kid Loki. I mean, it makes me wish I was a kid again. And then, you're talking about Mark Waid on Daredevil. Mark Waid on the Incredible Hulk is some good stuff.
Indestructible Hulk. Indestructible Hulk is a lot of fun. At some point, I was just wish, like, why don't Mark Waid's writing the two of the best books in comics. He's writing Daredevil, which I will champion until my death, and he's writing the Indestructible Hulk now, which is just so much fun, so much enjoyment. It's why I read comics. Books like that are why I read comics.
Well, also about some Marvel. I'm not saying it's up there, but I'm waiting for the storyline in Fantastic Four and FF to really come to a conclusion, because to me they're both okay books, and more people love FF than they do Fantastic Four, but it's just not, ever since Hickman wrote Fantastic Four FF, everything just seems bland now. I mean, it just seems like I'm reading a average Fantastic Four series instead of the...
No, I haven't read the current Fantastic Four. Like I said, I'm
well, unemployed. In the current Fantastic Four, you know, Reed discovered that their powers is killing everybody, except for the moment Johnny. It's killing Ben, it's killing Reed, it's killing Sue. So he takes the family on a trip through time and space so he can find himself a cure. But to this point, I have not seen them actually get close to finding a cure yet. And then in FF, because Reed knew they were going to be gone, he put together a substitute team. Was like, yeah, we're only going to be gone 4 minutes. Don't worry about it. 4 minutes goes by, and still they never come back yet. So you got these people stuck at the backs of the building, taking care of the Future Foundation. And then you had this old Johnny come through the little time thing, claiming that the rest of the Fantastic Four is dead. You don't really know if this is Johnny Storm or not. The artwork is something people really like, and hey, it's a fun read, but I want a more serious FF, and then I want the Fantastic Four to pick it up. But anyway, something else. Yeah. News.
Well, what comics have you read recently?
What comics have I read? That's a good question.
Because there was another comic I wanted to talk about, but I can wait on that because it's a trade I bought while I was in Austin.
I'm reading Wolverine. And, I was ready to drop this book because, like, the first four issues, I picked it up and really weren't reading it. And then I missed the fifth issue, which I got to go back and get now. But the last two issues I read, right, where Wolverine is dealing with Sam Jackson, Nick Fury, and S.H.I.E.L.D., and they're trying to kill him, and it turns out some alien race from the microverse taking over different S.H.I.E.L.D. people, and Wolverine stopped them, and so to retaliate, they turned off Wolverine's healing factor with a virus. So now, of course, Wolverine doesn't have his healing factor, and it's gotten out there pretty quickly to all his enemies and some friends that Wolverine can be killed. So we're going to see where that goes from there. There's a long list of people that would like to, you know, cut Wolverine's heart out. And whether or not they make this an interesting story or not, that'll determine where I stay on the book or not. But yeah, he's even, right, at this point, he's even afraid to shave because he's so mortal. Hello.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm right here.
I want to tell you some news real quick and then let you continue on
about
your...
Talking about my trade?
Huh?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because I picked up a trade.
Hold on, let me tell you this news.
I want to talk news, too.
Hold up. I'm going to give you the trade. I just want to say, all you Star Wars fans out there, John Williams is going to score... the new Star Wars Episode 7 movie. So, good news on that front. Now, what trade you want to talk about?
Whatever you feel like talking about first.
I told you. I wanted to talk about John Williams scoring the new...
John Williams doing the new Star Wars. Fantastic news, because, let's face it, John... to say someone else would do Star Wars just felt, I don't want to say wrong, but it kind of would really feel that way, wouldn't it? Because, man, I really cannot imagine anyone else capturing Star Wars the way John Williams does.
I don't know, people just seem to like Hans Zimmer. You don't think he can come up with a new Star Wars theme? That was just a joke.
Well, yeah, but still.
Right, so what trade you want to talk about?
It's an Image comic. I picked up two books while I was down in Austin, Texas recently. One was Chew. They're both Image comics. One was Chew, Volume 5, which I haven't read yet. But one I did pick up was The Manhattan Project, Volume 1.
I haven't read that yet.
Yeah, well, The Manhattan Project is, of course, from Image, which means it's a creator-owned series. The creators...
Yeah, Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah, writer is Jonathan Hickman. Art is done by Nick DiPera. Hickman, as people know him most for, is the his Fantastic Four run, which culminated with the death of Johnny Storm and
greatest Fantastic Four run of all time, in my opinion. And I've read a lot of.
I'm gonna say it's up there with Mark Waid and Mark Millar.
Listen. I've read. I hate Mark Millar's run on Fantastic Four.
I like Mark Millar's run, actually.
No, I hate it. And Mark Waid, it was my favorite until I read the Hickman run.
Okay. I'll go with you on that. But here's what the Manhattan Project. Everyone knows in history, the Manhattan Project was also known as the Atomic Bomb, which was dropped on Hiroshima. Nothing happened. But it's an alternate history, this book, where at the end of World War II, the Manhattan Project was a front for more astronetic science fiction ideas. Main characters include, like, Joseph Oppenheimer, who is an evil genius with multiple personalities who actually ate his brother, Robert Oppenheimer. Albert Einstein is actually a main character who is a very funny German drug dealer. Then you got Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who as soon as he dies becomes like the first human artificial intelligence. And there's other characters in it, like Harry Truman and Harry Deccalion and Enkiro Fermi and Richard Feynman and Leslie Groves and Yuri Gagarin, Lykia, Helmut Rothschild. Apologies to the German people if I fucked that up. And Dmitry Usinov. Now, this first trade only collected issues 1 through 5. It's called Science Bad, which I chuckled at because I think science is awesome, but in the case of Manhattan Project, yeah, science is pretty fucking evil. Here's the thing. I read it on the entire plane ride back when I was connecting from Houston to Little Rock. I read it on there. I read it with a nice little cup of tea. And it was really good. The art by Patera is really fun, but it's the writing that really sells it. The writing by Jonathan Hickman really sells the book and shows that it's a fun, serious, entertaining science fiction series. Now, so far, there's been two trades. The other trade, Volume 2, called Above Beyond, collects issues 6 through 10. Haven't gotten that yet. But I want to now, because reading that first trade made me really, really interested in this series. I'd say it's up there with Image's best, like Chew, The Walking Dead, Morning Glories, and so on, because Image has so many good books going on right now. I really recommend, if you're a fan of science, if you're a fan of history, or alternate history, or, you know, you like having fun with your history, and you like it mixing with science fiction, you know, you're one of those people. I recommend The Manhattan Project. I really do. It's a fun book. You should read it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got something to recommend, and it's not a book. It is a movie. And it's coming out this Tuesday. But if you can't wait,
really? You
can download it. It is available for digital download.
Can I download it right now?
Yes, if you want to pay for it, you can download it right now.
Okay, what's this movie?
Justice League Flashpoint Paradox.
I believe you mean Flashpoint Paradox?
Yeah, I said Paradox. And I'm telling you, you know, I watched the Superman movie with Brainiac, and that
Unbound.
Was like...
Unbound.
Right, and I was like, it's okay, nothing special.
I thought it was pretty good, but yeah, nothing really special.
But they really made up for that shit with this Justice League Flashpoint Paradox. It is fantastic. Now, this is based off the Flashpoint...
It's the best what? The best of all these movies they've done?
No, I mean, no, it's no, I didn't say that. I'm just saying it's really fantastic. It's definitely up there with a lot of the other great ones. But
okay, now I was about to ask what your opinion is, because I read Flashpoint and I'm so meh to the story, actually. I was meh to the whole miniseries.
Well, this makes it a lot cleaner and sharper. And so basically, after a failed attempt by Flash's rogue gallery led by Professor Zoom, aka Reverse Flash, to kill Barry Allen, Zoom puts in his head, you know, you can't save everybody, not the ones that are important. And Flash is upset and he runs off and it goes into the title credits. And then when it comes out of the title credits, he's at his job, half asleep, and he wakes up and he's like wondering what's going on, because some of the villains he was just put away are on the news fighting each other. And so he goes to try to stop them, but he has no powers. And he falls and he looks up and his mother's there. Now the thing about the Flash was, when he was a kid, his mother was murdered before he got home, and you know, he always thought if he had just got there a little sooner, he could have saved her. So now he realizes he's in a different world where this is a harder, grittier Batman. There's no Superman to be found. Wonder Woman and Aquaman they're leading their countries at war with each other, which is destroying the rest of the world. And the Flash has to find out why, and he has to, you know, try to put an end to this. And he has to get his powers back in order to do this. And he seeks out Batman, who he finds out isn't Bruce Wayne, but in fact, Thomas Wayne. And, you know...
Now let me ask real quick, because while I did find Flashpoint to be ultimately, one of the Flashpoint tie-ins, where it was revolved around the whole alternate Batman, where Martha Wayne ended up being the Joker.
Okay,
is
now...
Is that included in the
movie? I was about to address all that, okay? Now, of course, this is a 90-minute movie, so...
Oh, 70 minutes.
Why are you correcting me? Why are you doing that?
I'm not
crazy.
I just thought it was 70 minutes.
Why are you doing this? I hate you. But anyway, so let me finish. So, you know, the book had other tie-in miniseries where, like Jordan mentioned, there's, you know, about what happened with Batman and his new alternate reality and Wonder Woman and all of them. So what they do in the movie is, you may not like this. I thought it was okay. The Flash, hold up. The Flash being his new reality, at times, would get images of what this alternate change was. So, he saw what happened with Thomas Wayne and his family where, okay, you see the scene where Thomas Wayne is beating the crap out of Joe Chill, and Martha Wayne is holding her son. And then when Thomas Wayne comes over, Martha Wayne, with a hand full of blood, puts her hand over her mouth and starts laughing, right? And then when she moves her hand, it looks like the Joker mouth. And so she goes crazy from that. So they give you a glimpse of, you know, how things are different without actually going into full detail. One of the people who voiced it here, well, I didn't realize until I saw the credits, was Michael B. Jordan,
who voices Cyborg.
And he's you watch him in Fruitvale Station, and you see him in Chronicle. This guy is up and coming star.
Oh wait, Fruitvale Station. Did you see that?
Yes.
Oh, how is it? I want to see that.
It's pretty good, but it's pretty depressing, and depending on who you are, you can get very.
I like depressing movies.
You can get very angry at the watching that movie. So.
Why? Cause white people. Yeah.
It's not. I mean, that's too simple.
I'm joking.
I know. I'm just saying that's too simple of a way to put it, but it can get you upset.
I will just say this. Fuck the police.
I didn't know you listened to rap music. But no, anyway. So it's a Flashpoint paradox. I mean, it really brought the action. Especially at the end where they're trying to stop this last-ditch war between Aquaman and Wonder Woman. And you see how this war started in the first place. It's really a tight story. It really is. So, hey, the book may not have been your cup of tea, but I really think you're going to like the movie. I mean,
I hope it is, because I really want to see this movie, because basically it's going to lead into the new 52 being adapted into these movies.
That's a shame.
Well, hold on, because we heard at a Comic-Con, as I mentioned last week, there are three movies going to be next. One is New 52. One will be Justice League War, which will be based off the origin arc that I wasn't also a big fan of, but might like in the movie form. And the other two is one, Batman and Son, which is based off Son of Batman, done by Andy Kubert and Grant Morrison, which is basically the introduction of Damian. Speaking of which, Grant Morrison's mega Batman run finally comes to a big end on Batman Incorporated number 13 I think it's later this month. No, wait, next month. And the other is called Batman Arkham Assault, which is going to be based around the continuity and universe of the two Arkham games.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know. Honestly, what I hope for, adaptation of the Court of Owls story from Scott Snyder, maybe Death of the Family, some of the Flash work, and Justice League Dark. I would love to see an animated Justice League Dark. That would be so great.
You know, I wish DC... live action movies could keep up with the animated movies. I do. I mean, anyway, we're almost out of time here. It's at 7 o'clock.
Already? See?
Well, I mean, we don't have we don't have to exactly go off at 7. I mean, if we got something to say, we can say it, but. Just a question: if is there anything else? No. Where's Steve? He's so fired again this week. I'm sick of him. I mean, I took him in. I took him under my wing. I tried to be friends with him, and this is how he repays me, by taking vacations and disappearing off the map and complaining that he has problems. And oh, Steve, I hate you so much. Oh, you know what? I'm on Rotten Tomatoes, and they got coming soon this week, August 2nd, Top Cat the movie. What the fuck? Did you even know there was a Top Cat movie coming out?
No, a Top Cat movie? No. because really the only thing I care about that's getting made in the movies recently is like some of my favorite TV shows, Plays, Serenity, Two Happen, or
you ever watch Top Cat?
Or comic books. Like I said, the Flash movie's gonna happen. Now, three things. One, I'm excited. Two, my dream is dead, but I can live with that. And three, please don't make the same tone and style as Man of Steel. That won't mix very well at all. I'm gonna be honest. Don't do the Flash in the same style as Man of Steel. It's not gonna work.
Maybe, but have you watched Top Cat before?
Top Cat?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen Top Cat. I've seen every cartoon.
And, you know, it's got like a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I looked at the trailer, and I don't know what the hell I'm looking at. I mean, it's certainly not no Top Cat I remember growing up. The animation looks bad. The voice looks bad, and the story just looks terrible.
Well, it's a Top Cat. Who really is clamoring for a fucking Top Cat movie?
There's nothing wrong with making a Top Cat movie, but you still gotta
there's no real demand.
There's never a demand when you take these older properties and try to update them. It's just a question they think, well, let's try to make money off of it. It's always the case. I mean, there's never a demand for these things, okay? Like, the people I grew up with, they're not demanding. And then younger people, they have their own cartoons. So when they decide to make these things, it's just, you know, let's try to, you know, we got a property, we own it, let's try to make some money. But there's no advertisement for this. The trailer looks terrible. I'm not even sure if it's coming. It's listed on Rotten Tomatoes coming out in the theater. But I think maybe this is going straight to DVD or something. Or it's going to play in one theater.
Actually, Top Cat came out in theaters in the UK.
And then, you know, I don't know.
Apparently, it's one of the worst absolute movies ever.
It's something. It is.
Well, what can you do?
I don't know. I do know that you need to see some Flashpoint this week.
Hey. I'm going to watch Flashpoint. I'm going to watch it as soon as it comes out. Believe me on this.
You know, let me tell you that.
Gonna make it awesome.
You know, when it comes to changing it to a superhero, it's funny. The two coolest ways to me to change it to a superhero are both the DC and the Marvel's Captain Marvel. I always thought they was the two coolest ways to turn into a hero. Okay? With the DC version, yelling out Shazam and getting struck by that bolt of lightning, that shit is awesome. And then the Marvel version, do you know how the Marvel version is done?
Yeah.
How is it done?
I'm having a hard time with it.
Well, okay, the original Captain Marvel, which
I thought you were reading Carol Danvers. Yeah.
No, the original Captain Marvel, he didn't really turn into it. Like, he had on these bands, nega bands. And Rick Jones had on a pair of nega bands.
To be honest, the only Captain Marvel from Marvel I read is Carol Danvers. I don't know.
Okay, but the original Kree Captain Marvel, he had on these nega bands. And so did Rick Jones. And what would happen is, when Rick Jones needed Captain Marvel, he would clank the bands together, and they would switch places. So, like...
Oh.
Like Captain Marvel was trapped in a negative universe until he was released by Rick Jones by clanking together the band. And I always thought that was the coolest way to change into a superhero, was clanking the bands together. And that's how I would like to turn into a superhero. Just clank my two wristbands together, and then energy just crack all over me, and I become the hero to save the day. So you never read any previous Captain Marvel other than this current one, huh?
Other than Carol Danvers? I've strictly been Carol Danvers.
There's been four other Captain Marvels before Carol Danvers. Have you not read none of them?
Carol Danvers. You know what? Send me a list of what I should read.
No. Okay. Most of it...
No, I want to read that.
No, I'm saying most of it is Donald Trey, but there's the original Kree Captain Marvel. Of course, the main book on that is to read The Death of Captain Marvel. Okay, if you need a trade, you want to read that. And then...
Yes, okay, I would like to.
Then the second Captain Marvel was Monica Rambeau, who... she's going to be in the upcoming Mighty Avengers book soon. The third Captain Marvel was a clone of the original Captain Marvel, Genis Vale, who at first was reluctant to be a hero because he couldn't live up to his father's mantle, and he stayed drunk all the time and got into fights, and then he finally became a hero, and he got bonded to Rick Jones again, because Rick Jones during Avengers Forever got injured, so he gave up his life force so Rick Jones would live, so they would switch places with the bands. But then of course this one went crazy because of the cosmic I hate blanking, folks, cosmic awareness. Yeah, he did not handle the cosmic awareness, and he went crazy. But he ended up dying, and then of course his sister, who also was cloned, became Captain Marvel until she was killed in Guardians of the Galaxy. And then of course this current one is because Captain America told Miss Marvel, said, you know, Captain Marvel wasn't a name, it was a mantle, and you've really been carrying the mantle all this time. So she says, yeah, you're right. So now I'm Captain Marvel. I hope that history lesson helped.
It really did. Really did. I'm going to look this shit up.
All right. I don't really know which song to play. So it's just going to be a cold ending. So anything else to say before you say goodbye, Jordan?
Well, I got nothing else really to add. I mean, I've talked about all the comics I want to.
All right, then. Go ahead.
I also want to talk about Beware the Batman real quick. It's actually improving a lot.
Yeah, I watched the third episode, and okay, so far, the one thing about Beware of the Batman, you're not getting the old villains that you're used to. Right, they're coming up with some of his newer villains, but I have to say,
older villains, because Anarchy is pretty.
Yeah, but Anarchy doesn't get used a lot. But Professor Pig, that's a new villain. And
but they do already have a voice actor cast for Ra's al Ghul.
I'd just say not showing up. I'm just saying so far, none of the regulars have shown up.
That's good to me, honestly.
But I have to say, this Magpie, she was too much like Catwoman.
Mannerisms, yes. Being voiced by Gray DeLeese as well. Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything about her said that they wanted to do Catwoman, just decided to do this Magpie instead. I mean, the whole flirting and the fighting, and Batman can't put it down. He seemed like he'd be reluctant to hit a woman in the face, and it just seemed that just seemed like they should have just went with Catwoman. But hey.
But hey, I got nothing else really to talk about. I've talked all I needed to.
Anarchy, is he going to be the same Anarchy like he was in our Brave and the Bold?
I don't know. His model, actually, this model seemed to be more designed after how he's looking in the in Arkham Origins game that's coming out this
because,
October.
Because, you know, when he fell, and then I knew he was going to disappear. So he's not quite totally human. Whatever.
No, he's not. But like I said, his design is more modeled after how he looks in Arkham Origins.
Okay. All right, then. Say goodnight and don't speak a word after that.
Good night, everybody. Keep reading your comics.
All right, so yeah, next week we'll probably have more news since we'll be 2 weeks removed from Comic-Con. And, you know, check out the network, of course, and read all the articles listed on the network and listen to the audios in review, in rotation. And we'll see you again next week. Peace.